Hello and welcome to a special Saturday edition of Palace Intrigue. I am your host, Mark Francis. Well, as we get ready for the big Oprah Winfrey special, it's amusing to watch all the pieces move around the chessboard. CBS had teased the way they were going to share another Oprah clip during the 7 a.m. Eastern hour yesterday, and then totally, coincidentally, just moments later after the tease but before the clip, Buckingham Palace announced Prince Philip had returned to King Edward VII Hospital, where he will remain for several days after his heart surgery at St. Bartholomew's Hospital on Wednesday. In the latest clip, Meghan says she is speaking out now because we are on the other side of a lot of life experience and we have the ability to make our own choices. It's really liberating to have the right and the privilege in many ways to say, yes, I am ready to talk. Meanwhile, friends of Meghan are making the rounds, with the big splash coming from Omid Scobie, who appeared on Good Morning Britain and told presenters Kate Garraway and Ben Shepherd, "This is an institution that remains silent about the allegations about Prince Andrew. It does feel like we have a slightly uneven playing field here." Well, that got quite the reaction. Royal expert Richard Fitzwilliams told Mail Online that Mr. Scobie's comments were not only disingenuous, but a bid to deflect attention from the bullying allegations from 2018. He explained Prince Andrew is no longer a working member of the royal family, faces serious allegations, and has promised to take part in the FBI investigation into Epstein's accomplices to bring justice for his victims. Mr. Fitzwilliams added there is also an investigation by the French police and Scotland Yard, and the palace no longer acts on his behalf. Scobie denied witnessing any bullying during the time he was researching his famed Finding Freedom biography. He said, "Last year I got to know very closely people who were working closely with them, and I myself hadn't come across bullying. I came across people frazzled." Suits writer John Cowan also came to Meghan Markle's defense via Twitter. "It's also possible the Duchess of Sussex is a good person thrust into an unimaginable world. Having spent 3 years working with her in pre-Duchess days, I saw a warm, kind, caring person. I know nothing of her current situation, but she gets the benefit of the doubt in my book." And Meghan's friend Lindsay Roth said, "She's funny, like laugh-out-loud funny, and smart." The caption continued, "She was this woman when we were students together at Northwestern University. She was this woman in Los Angeles when her days were spent auditioning. She was this woman living in Toronto as Rachel Zane on Suits. She was this woman before you knew she was dating Harry. She was this woman after you knew she was dating Harry. She was this woman when she became Duchess of Sussex, and she is still, without a doubt, this very same woman today." Of course, not everyone is on Team Meghan. For example, Piers Morgan, writing for the Daily Mail, "On Monday, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex announced a 20-point guide on how to empower women. Timed to coincide with next week's International Women's Day, it dripped with all the usual insufferably patronizing self-righteousness that's become the hallmark of the couple's endless hectoring homilies to the world. Let's unleash a groundswell of real acts of compassion for the women in your life," they beseeched on their foundation website. The 20 points, which included such blatantly sexist guff as telling us all to order from a woman-led restaurant, "Can you imagine the outrage if I suggested ordering from a man-led restaurant?" also contained this directive, "Support saves spaces for women." Fine words from a couple who never stopped telling us how caring and compassionate they are and how much they want to empower women. Doubtless we'll hear a lot more of this narrative during their 2-hour interview with Oprah Winfrey. Just as we'll hear more on how they were driven out of Britain and the royal family by a bunch of nasty bullies in the present palace. Oh, and how poor Meghan was silenced by restrictive royal protocol and had her vitally important voice taken away from her. The Oprah Winathon will be brimming with anguished woe-is-me tears, indignant rage, wallowing self-pity and lots of claims about how kind, caring Meghan and Harry just want to save the world. Piers then went through the events of the week, including the bullying charges, before asking, "So where did they come from? Was it the nasty, lying British press again?" Well, no. The allegations were in an email written by the couple's then communications secretary, Jason Nauf. When Meghan was allegedly warned by a senior palace aide to treat her staff better, she is reported to have retorted, "It's not my job to coddle people." All of this makes shocking reading, and if it's all true, then it makes a complete mockery of Meghan and Harry's endless victimhood tour. It's too late for Oprah to ask them about it because her interview is in the can. Instead, we'll just hear the Sussexes portray themselves as the bullied victims, not the bullies that is now claimed they were themselves. And we'll hear Meghan cry that she was silenced, when in fact it's the alleged victims of her own bullying who have been silenced and their voices taken away. Amid all of this undefying royal mudslinging, the Duke of Edinburgh remains seriously ill in hospital. The poor Queen must be in utter turmoil. It's bad enough that Meghan and Harry have done this interview at such an incredibly insensitive time for the family, but to play the compassionate women empowering victims of bullying on primetime TV when they've now been accused of their own shocking compassion devoid bullying towards multiple women is both beyond the pale and beyond parody. Take the hypocritical halos off your Royal Highnesses. They're cracked. And Palace Intrigue will be right back. In happier news, Gertz Royals reports the Queen has two new corgi puppies after last corgi Whisper died in 2018 and her doggy Vulcan died last year. The dogs were a gift and the first the Queen has owned that are not direct descendants of Susan the Corgi she received for her 18th birthday in 1944. And of course, the statement from Buckingham Palace was good news. Following the Duke of Edinburgh's successful procedure at St. Bartholomew's Hospital on Wednesday, HRH has been transferred back to King Edward VII's and is expected to remain in hospital for continuing treatment for a number of days. One wonders if his room should have a TV. We'll be back in the morning to pre-game Oprah, and on Sunday evening, if you'd like some company while you watch Meghan and Harry, we'll be live tweeting at PalaceIntrigue1. That's at PalaceIntrigue, the number one. And there you have it. Please follow us on Spotify or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. I'm Mark Francis. My thanks to John McDermott. This is Palace Intrigue and good times.